Preemptive rounds and internal rounds are a hot topic in the market today.
Now, I think this might work against us as investors.
For founders in this market especially, should it just be see money, take money?
You have to make your intent known to the founder very early that this is a company where you believe in the thesis, you believe in the founder.
And this podcast is really targeted towards founders to think through these choices and how to play their cards.
Rajinder really wanted to do this role play because he is a wannabe actor.
Hi, and welcome to Matrix Moments. Today's title is How to Think About Preemptive and Internal Rounds. This one's a little controversial for two reasons. One, it's self-promotional and it does, in some cases, advocate for investors, especially early-stage investors. But two, what's right for the investor is, in many cases, actually also what's right for the founder. So, you know, all of this has context-specific nuance. So for the founders who are thinking through these choices, you know who you can reach out to. We're certainly a friendly investor in the market who's happy to help. Jumping into the topic, Vikram, thanks for doing this with me. Preemptive rounds and internal rounds are a hot topic in the market today. We've seen a few of these happen in our portfolio. We're seeing a few outside. We're considering a few new deals ourselves. The data on this is also quite interesting. In 50% of the cases, and this is deals by volume, we've actually led or preempted rounds in our portfolio companies. But by dollars, this is actually more. This is close to 70% by dollars. One way to look at this topic is to say, you know, it's business as usual.
So basically, this is a self-promotional podcast. We are doing a lot of preemptive rounds.
Yeah, I mean, one way to look at it is business as usual. So what's new? Isn't this how venture just works? 50% of the cases it happens, 50% it doesn't happen. But I guess the nuance today is that it's happening in an environment where valuations are more normal. And in the past, when valuations were, you know, way ahead of any operating performance, it was almost a no-brainer for the founders, right? But today it isn't. And so that's what makes this more interesting for founders to think about today. And this podcast is really targeted towards founders to think through these choices and how to play their cards in each of these. We may even sneak in a role play at some point. So let's start with what is a preemptive round and how should we define it?
So a preemptive internal round is a round that's largely led by internal investors. And it's done far in advance of two things. One is that the PMF is not yet there or the milestones are not yet there. And second is there hasn't been any real price discovery that's happened in the market by the founder. So that's what makes it sort of preemptive. Now there are trade-offs at all ends. Founders are not doing market discovery. For investors also, there is no market discovery on pricing and they're moving ahead of the market in some sense. So everybody is making some of these trade-offs and that's what makes this decision-making process and thinking through process very, very nuanced. And the purpose of this is just to talk freely about some of the conversations that founders are, and investors are not able to have as freely so that when founders are making these decisions, at least they have a point of view and they can refer to this podcast. So that's the purpose is... that's the purpose of this. So, you know, one of the interesting things, sorry, is yesterday I was having a discussion with a founder who's been a close friend for a long time. Unfortunately, we couldn't invest in his company and one of our peer investors has invested in his company. And he called yesterday and he's got an internal round from his existing investor. And believe it or not, I was batting for his existing investor to take the money because that was the right answer for both him and the investor.
Let's start with the choices that a founder has. And, you know, we can use this founder as an example. There is option one, which is there is a preemptive internal round offer that's baking and maybe it's on the table already. Two, there is a preemptive external round where the founder has, let's call it 2 to 3 friendly investors where it's almost like an exclusive process that they're running with these 2-3 friendly investors. And then there's 3, which is wait it out, let the business and, you know, operating performance and story kind of mature, numbers stack up, and then do a full bake, lots of investors, and maybe do full price discovery. Maybe you get the valuation that you really want, or maybe you don't. For founders in this market especially, should it just be see money, take money? Or is it that, you know what, the world is in a new normal? Capital, we've all realized through these cycles, is no longer a moat. Momentum may be momentum, but the color of money also does matter. And so there seems like a lot of nuance here. So why should a founder take an internal round?
Yeah, it seems like a non-obvious choice. But I'll tell you why, and in certain cases, it's actually the better answer for a founder. Number one is capital raising is an extremely inefficient process. And for a lot of founders, they don't like it. and you're most likely to get money from an investor who is half convinced or more than half convinced themselves about the market, about the opportunity, and about you as a founder and founding team. And that's the investor who's most likely to make a yes decision to invest. In that spectrum, your existing investor is number one on that list because they've already made that decision. They've already watched you along on this journey. They're already invested in that opportunity and that market. So the highest probability is going to come from somebody who is already on your cap table, has likely not built the ownership that they want, and are hungry for more ownership. So therefore, that particular interest, I will say, treat it with respect, because it is the, as a founder, it's the highest intent that you have in terms of a new investment commitment. And that's why I say, treat that with respect, and therefore it is your number one option. Number two, it's likely the fastest process in terms of efficiency with the least dilution. So fastest process, least dilution, sounds too good to be true. So it's faster process, obviously, because you know they've already made that decision and it's a quick follow-on decision. But is it actually the least dilution? So let's play out a few scenarios.
Yeah.
Let's say there are two investors on the cap table. Today, they usually get 12-13% each in that first seed round. Let's say it's an internal round. It will be a 10-12% additional dilution round. Let's say it's 12%. Even with that, I think you'll dilute an additional 12% on that cap table, which will get each of the investors up to, call it 16-17%. And that's actually a great outcome for the investors. And for you in that round, in that second round, you've only diluted 12%. Let's say it's a new investor. They will want 10-12%. And then you have to give your existing investors pro rata. So call it another 2% each. So then you're diluting 16% in that round versus 12% in the first case. Now, if you have only one investor on the cap table and they are preempting, this equation is even better. And that's why the dilution is a lot lower.
And I guess the operating assumption here is valuation is notional, dilution is real, and dilution matters, especially in early stage. So for founders, this is definitely topical. Let's try and maybe plug in the role play here. Let's say I'm the founder, and I'm the founder, let's say, who called you last night. I hear you, Vikram. Your advice sounds logical, but I don't agree. I think that my existing investors have a lot of ownership, and shouldn't I just bring someone new? Because it adds more, maybe it signals something to the market that I've brought someone new.
So let me ask a few questions before I... So number one, you have a existing investor, and I remember this existing investor because you chose them over me. So clearly you liked them then. Do you still like them?
Yeah, I think they've added value.
And do you have a great relationship with them?
Yeah, they've been very productive.
So in some ways, known devil, known angel versus unknown. So that's number one. In terms of your business and your market, are you number one today?
I am. Without getting into the details, I'm building in a category that's still nascent. We've made progress. The business has inflected as yet. But I feel confident that we're, you know, maybe 6 to 12 months away from
it. So let me give you the investor's perspective on this. You're in a category which is a category creation category, which means it's not proven. So the TAM is yet to be proven. And the second thing that you said is not inflected yet. So it's not obvious to everyone that you are number one or that you're that far ahead versus some of the others. So what's the pricing that you expect from the external market?
I mean, it certainly...
I know you, it'll be 2-3x the last round.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, right? Like versus the last round, it's got to be a meaningful move from that.
Yeah.
Both for me as well as for my existing investors.
So from a category perspective, is it one of those categories which is on fire? Right now, AI is on fire. Is it one of those categories that's on fire?
No, not as yet. But I can see it happening in the next 12 months.
How many investors have come in inbound and said they are really keen to make an investment?
You know investors, Vikram. Like everyone pings and wants to know where we're at. But have they gone deep? I mean... Maybe no, because I haven't given them full access on all the info
but
that they may
need. Has
anyone
said that we would preemptively want to lead something as a Series A?
Not as yet. I haven't fully developed those conversations.
So I think there are a few things that you just said, right? One is it's a category creation category. So that means the onus on proving the category is a lot higher. Secondly is that the company is not inflected yet, which is that it's not obvious in the metrics as yet. If I were you, then it's actually incumbent on you to prove all of these things out. And they're not as obvious yet. And then from an investor perspective, it seems like it's not like it's the hot trend line, or it's a trend line that investors are convincing themselves about, which means that you need to do a lot more convincing. Putting all that all together, right? From a probabilistic outcome perspective, it looks like the process that you will have to run in order to actually get to your fundraise is a much wider process and a much longer process. So that's number one. Number two is just in terms of ownership and dilution. I know you're likely, I know you're valuation sensitive, but I know you're also dilution sensitive.
Yeah.
So putting that first part of the conversations together, my advice to you as a friend is you might not get to that right valuation. What kind of dilution would you do?
I think on dilution, obviously the lower the better. I wasn't actually thinking 12%. I was thinking closer to 10. But I mean, it's, I honestly think, you know.
So 10% dilution round is a great round for you. And as a friend, I would just cheer for you. But it's a little unrealistic. Let's say I'm a new investor and you come to me as a new investor and you say, hey, I'm doing a 10% dilution round. Your existing investor is likely to get 2.5% of that. That means I get 7.5-8%. That's too less for me to do this round. So I'm going to push back and I say, I want a minimum of 12%. I might be willing to settle for a little bit lower, but 12% is what I want. That means then 12% plus 2% for your existing investor, that's a 14-15% dilution round. What's your internal investor offering?
I mean, I don't want to get into the specifics now, but it's definitely lower than that.
So here's my advice to you overall. You know, one, I think your internal investor, and I can't believe that I'm batting for another investor here, is actually communicating great intent to essentially invest more money and significantly raise their commitment to you. I would just take that commitment with a great deal of respect. I know they have a self-interest in it, where they want to improve their return on their business. That doesn't mean it's the wrong answer for you. Because what they're trying to do is, yes, increase the return profile, but they have seen your execution over a period of time. So they are able to take a much bigger leap of faith on you, the team, the opportunity, because I'm sure they like what they see. And by the way, when you're having this conversation and you're telling me that an investor that I respect and I think is very smart is actually saying that they really want to accrete, it's actually driving FOMO for me. I'm getting more excited just based on this conversation, because that investor has been watching you on a weekly, monthly basis, and they want to lean in. So I would treat that process with a great degree of respect. I'm not telling you definitely take that internal round. And now that we've had this conversation, I want to also get a look in. But it is something that I would strongly consider.
I hear you, and it makes a lot of sense. Yeah, no founder likes spending tons of time on fundraising. But I want to hear more answers or more reasons why it's the wrong decision for me, because I'm hearing from some other founders that slow down, think about it and test the market.
See, the number one reason to drive a wider discovery process is that you might get a much better price in the market. But know that you're going to get a much better price only if you have very high interest in your round.
In this case, like we've discussed, the higher price, that's a bit of a punt. So it's a 50-50 call.
That's why I asked the questions that I did before, which is, hey, is there very high interest? Is this a hot market? Those are the things that are likely to drive a fast high valuation process. If you're not already getting those signals, it's likely either that you've not been talking to anyone.
What about the signaling point that I brought up earlier? How do I solve for that?
Given the quality of your investor, current investor, I don't think that's a problem at all. I think the signaling point is something people worry about a lot. Honestly, it's not as much of a problem, especially when a internal investor preemptively, this is not a funding of last resort. When it's a funding of last resort, then there are all these signaling risks. If you haven't gone to the market at all, or if you've maybe had one or two conversations, and then you've preemptively taken the round, I would argue that this is the strongest signal that you can send from your investors that they have extreme confidence in this company. And I would make the most of it and actually not go out to the market at all, take a fast decision and actually do a big bang PR around it. A lot of it depends on the PR and how you celebrate the round as well.
Makes sense. I think that's a perspective I hadn't thought of. But now, ownership. I've also heard that you need to have more diversity on the cap table in general, and giving too much ownership to one investor sometimes is not always the right answer.
So that's why I began the conversation with, do you like the investor? And do you like the quality of conversation that you're having? Then it is better to have a deeper partnership with someone that you really like versus the other way around. They already have a board seat.
Yeah.
So that's not going to change. They already have a bunch of SHA rights.
None of that's going to change.
Are they going above 26%?
No.
So some of this, every situation is different. That's why if you like the investor, you like the partner who's on your board, they're not going up above thresholds, which completely change the structure of the company, which is at 26% threshold.
Can you just double click on that? Why 26%?
So 26%, they essentially become a majority shareholder. And just in terms of the way India works, you will have to go to them for any meaningful corporate transactions.
Thank you for all of this advice, Vikram. Just to close out on the role play, I know you've been interested in being a founder in the past before. If you were in my shoes, how would you run this process?
It's a good question. Like I said, I truly believe in the fact that the internal investor is taking a very big positive step by showing this additional commitment. And so I would treat that with respect. First thing I would ask that internal investor is to say, have you done all your work? And is this a full conviction move? Your partnership is convinced. I would ask them to do more diligence. I would actually share more data and say, why don't you re-underwrite this in a way where you get all of this data? And I would say, over the next 2 weeks, whatever your associates, your team can come, look at the data and build proper conviction. And then I want a more firm offer from you. That will also tell me if this was just a trial balloon or if this was something that they are doing with high conviction and they have presented this internally and so on, if they need to, depending on how different firms work. That's one. In parallel, I would look out for myself and I would go to one or two friendly investors and I would talk to them where I would say that there will be two or three who have shown some interest and I would go to them and say, hey, I am actually not in the market, but I have got a preemptive offer. I wouldn't share that it's only internal. And I have got a preemptive offer. Is this something you would be interested in? And I would share the story very quickly to verify where I am. And I would put the cart before the horse a little bit in those conversations by talking about round construct, by talking about valuation to see where they are. If, let's say, I am getting that kind of price in the market, let's say it's the 2x price and 10% dilution, which is the dream round, and I don't get laughed out of the room, then I know that the market might be ready for a construct like that. And I would run these processes in parallel. I'm not saying that I would not take the internal round investor, but I would benchmark that process and I might still take the internal round investor at the end of the day. But I would run those like a limited process with one or two friendly investors in parallel before I verify and take that internal round. Now, I think this might work against us as investors, but I think that's the right thing for a founder to do.
That's fair. And maybe switching out and just going back to our earlier chat.
So role play's over?
Role play's over.
I must tell all listeners and viewers that Rajinder really wanted to do this role play because he is a wannabe actor and this is his platform. So he really wanted to do this role play.
Thank you, Vikram. I think I succeeded in my role as a founder in this audition. But I don't think I pushed you hard enough. I feel like I had a few questions there that I could have really pushed you. But maybe that's for another time.
Yeah.
I want to cover one topic we didn't cover earlier, which is, let's say we run these two processes in parallel. Under what circumstances do you think it's the right answer for both the founder and perhaps even the internal investor to consider an externally led preemptive round?
Yeah, I think there are definitely times when an external round is the right answer for the company. And in some ways, an externally led round at some point of time in the early journey of the company is the true round and it's a must. Why is it a must? Because it's an external validation of the TAM, of the quality of team and the business model, which is needed because it's a completely fresh pair of eyes, fresh underwriting of the company. And sometimes as internal investors and with a strong partnership with the founder where you're invested in the founder's journey and the company, you drink the Kool-Aid and then therefore, you can't see a lot of risks that sometimes the external market can. So that's the reason why there should be some external validation at some point in time. Now, the question is, why look for that external round? I think the reason to look for that external round is can be many things. But it is essentially because you either need a lot more capital for this next phase of the journey, and one investor can't just provide that capital. And the second is, there is something in the color of the external capital that you're looking for. Sometimes it is, oh, I need US market expertise, and therefore I need somebody who's very entrenched in US market, and I have an Indian VC on my existing cap table. Or the other way around, that I want actually Indian money, or Indian money because I'm in a fintech, and it's important that more than 50% of my shareholding stays as domestic shareholding. And therefore, I want to make sure that I'm weighing things. So sometimes the color of money is important, and therefore you need to go external. Or it's just that you need more money and your existing investor can't actually provide the capital that you need, just standalone. Or in the journey, balance sheet is going to be so important that it's better to have multiple check writers on the table. It's also sort of true on sort of where, when you choose to do the internal round.
Can we talk about that SaaS company in our portfolio that we've just been talking about internally?
Yeah, sure. It's a company that we seeded. We seeded along with another VC, and the two of us sort of split that first round. We were very keen to lead the next round preemptively. And then it didn't happen. The founder ended up actually taking, it's a SaaS company. So the founder ended up taking an external round, and for the right reasons. He was looking for an investor who had expertise in the US, and he wanted somebody from that market with a foothold completely in that market. And he got that, and he got a great price in 2021. So all of it actually came together. So it was absolutely the right answer for the company and the founder. Now, the next time around, he's making the different choice, which is to take an internal round. And the reason is exactly all the things that we just chatted about. It is lower dilution. It's a bunch of investors that he likes, and it's a very nice partnership around the table with all the investors and the founders. And everybody wants to accrete. It's a signal of great commitment that all of us are excited about putting in more money. We all want to accrete ownership. It's lower dilution than what the founder would get in the market. And I think we are all giving a very fair price, which is ahead of the founder's expectations or at market. He might get a slightly higher price, but it's, we're all been partners. So, you know, lower dilution, slightly here and there on price. This is actually a fantastic outcome all around. So you can see an a founder who made a different choice in the first round or the second round in the company and different choice in the third round in the company. So it is nuanced on when you choose what.
And what about the other fintech company? I think there your advice was actually the opposite, if I remember correctly.
It was. And so like I said, this is one of those nuanced things where it is, what is the exact position of the company? It's a little bit like poker, right? Where are you sitting? Are you in? Are you behind or ahead and so on? And therefore, what is the risk reward? In this particular case, it's two top tier investors who are in the cap table. So one is us, and alongside us is another investor. In fact, the other investor had proposed an internal round, albeit a bit late. We would have been supportive of that internal round construct as well. But the founder made a great point, which is two things. One, it's a balance sheet business where the balance sheet matters. And therefore, he wanted more investors who could put in more money over the long term. That was one. Second, he also made sure that it was domestic capital. And because it was domestic capital, it also makes sure that his cap table is overweight domestic, and it's important in a financial services business. By the way, because we had offered internal rounds and so on, the founder was also very fair to us and let us accrete a little bit, maybe not as much as we would have all liked to. And overall, I was more supportive of that external round because more capital, right answer for the company, more domestic. So it was just the right answer for the company.
Maybe we switch to the investor view. We've spoken about this more from the founder perspective.
Yeah.
We spend 99% of our time thinking as investors would. When and how should an investor preempt?
Early and clearly. What I mean by that is that you have to make your intent known to the founder very early, that this is a company where you believe in the thesis, you believe in the founder, and you believe in that the company that they're building. And therefore, you want to actually accrete ownership or increase your ownership and communicate that very clearly upfront. And then once, and you have to do it before others do. Because it doesn't help that everybody in the market has offered around and then you offer around. That's not preemptive. That's not early. It's essentially when everybody else has shown up. So one is early.
Yeah.
And the second is clearly. which is to say, we want to lead this round. This is the kind of money that we are willing to offer. This is the kind of dilution that we are suggesting. First, communicate to founders, and with their permission, we usually communicate to other investors. A lot of the time, the other investors would also join us in that round. If you do that, I think you have a greater chance of being able to actually achieve an internal round construct. If you do this too late, I think it ends up messing with any kind of conversation that the founder is already having with other investors.
So early and clearly, how do you solve for early? And when does early not work?
By early, I mean it has to be more obvious to you as an internal investor before it is obvious to others. That's when you can do this early. And I think what we do is we look for a lot of early signals, which are health signals and not necessarily performance signals. And performance signals are revenue and so on. Whereas health signals are what's happening early in the company, which is pipeline signals. How is the early product engagement? How is the team developing? What are the business model characteristics? Whether it is CAC, whether it is retention, whether it is repeat. So you're looking for some of these signals which tell you, hey, the founding team is doing all the right things, and these right things are going to compound over a period of time. And even though the performance metric on revenue hasn't shown up yet, you're seeing a good company getting built in that market. And in some way, what we look for is there are some risks at the time of investment. Sometimes it is market. Sometimes it is, will these unit economics work? There are multiple risks. Have those risks become lesser or more? And often great founding teams, what they're doing is that over a period of time, they've done things to mitigate those risks or make those risks go away altogether. And if that has happened, that is 100% a signal that you should be leaning forward first. We take time to diligence this decision, because a thought usually starts at one of these monthly update meetings saying, oh, something's going really well in this company and these risks are breaking in our favor. And then you spend some time, maybe a week or two, to double click and really understand whether this is actually true. And then you communicate and move forward with the decision. I would say there are many cases in which you get some of these wrong, and it's par for the course. And as an investor, you end up getting them wrong. I think what are the ways in which you can get wrong? Sometimes you underestimate the competitive landscape. Sometimes you overestimate the fact how much the risks have changed, and actually the risk reward hasn't changed at all. And you're just putting in more money, thinking the risk reward has changed, but actually it hasn't, and so on. As early investors, and especially as less seasoned investors, I often hear that this is too early to make this preemptive call. And sometimes it is, I understand. But a lot of the times, it's because you're not able to make the journey from those early signals about the business to potential future signals on revenue and performance of the business. And if you spend a lot of time really thinking hard about it, and if you've been spending the time really helping the founder on their early journey, and you've been getting signals on a daily, weekly basis, that makes that leap of faith easier.
Yeah. No, and I think it connects back to some of the culture at the firm, right? Like, we are thesis-backed and founders first. And so you're really looking for signals on both. In investing, there are knowns, there are unknowns. We recognize those unknowns, either expand over time or shrink over time. And that makes the decision easier. But I think what I really picked up from this chat, which I hadn't thought of before, was the fact that you have advised founders that irrespective of whether it's internal or an external decision, it should be a decision that is conviction-based. That may be something, at least wearing a founder hat on for a moment, I wouldn't have thought of. I would have said there is always this argument of, see money, take money.
I would say ultimately it comes down for us with a call on founders, like a lot of things for us. A is, putting all of that together, the question that you're usually asking is, do you want to go on this journey with the founder, with the second additional commitment? And if that journey question is easy, then usually that additional commitment is easier. And the reason I'm asking that journey question is because in all likelihood, once after you make that decision, as an investor, you're going to look stupid in 6 months because something's going to go wrong, because things don't always go right. And it's the conviction and the fact that you've answered the journey question that, helps you be a good partner and be a good steady investor through those ups and downs. ultimately, with all of this, we usually end up going with the founder. You know, their choice on how they want to shape their round, because it's their choice to make. We will push and pull, and we will try to make sure that we can also get our 2 cents in. But ultimately, it's the founder's call.